Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatec.
No, you're working at Inatec because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a house.
Blowing up Bank Section Next. I'm Tom Houshy. He's Jay-Z on the board 2 days in a row. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, as always. We also have our normal Tuesday co-host, Stephanie Koenig, and we have Mr. Kevin O'Neill calling in to give us a splash of Kevinism, because tomorrow we're not going to have a show because the world is evidently in mourning for actually for a president that I can't believe I'm saying this, that I really liked.
I liked him, too.
But don't have too many of those.
Well, I want to go back to what you said, though, about your normal Tuesday host. Are you saying Stephanie normally is there on Tuesday?
Yes.
Or are you saying Stephanie's normal?
I'm always here on Tuesdays.
So you prefer the former.
Well, as a teacher, you know, you could also have one of those tests where A and B, not C, A and C, not B, the ones that would trip up everybody.
All of the above, yeah.
Yeah, those are horrible. I never liked those. All the above wasn't so bad, but A and B, not C, A and C, didn't like those much. So what, we have the, are we going to do the same thing for Trump?
Do the same thing at what?
When his time comes?
A and B, not C? What are we doing?
Yes, yes.
Do we
coming out the ears and everything? You know, I don't know, Tom, because you know, right now, first of all, I'm not entirely comfortable just with the idea of using President Bush's death as the vehicle for bashing Trump, and I've seen a lot of that, and I would really kind of prefer to deal with President Bush on his own, on his own merits, but. If you recall, he wasn't necessarily the most popular guy at the time, and took a lot of bashing in his day. I heard an interview last night driving home with him, and he was talking not only about himself, but he said he thought he took a lot of stuff that was unfair, but he really had a hard time sitting there and watching it happen with his son, and that was much more difficult for him. So now we've gotten perspective on the man. We sort of understand him, and certainly in the case of both Bushes, they weren't really inclined to slug back every time they took a shot, which I think was a really admirable thing. Sometimes I wished in both cases. Sometimes I wished they would have, but. Let's we'll see. We'll see how history treats people, because the perceptions are always different, 20 years after out of office than they are now. And I don't know, the perceptions of Trump might be worse, they might be better, they might be exactly what most people think or what many people think today. I don't know what to expect with that when his time.
Well, the
when his time comes.
Real quick, Steph, SP futures down 10, Dow futures down 130, Nasdaq futures down 38. What is Sorry to interrupt, but I'm going to ask you a question. What is it about our mentality? We're talking about the same country that the most popular person in town is the second string quarterback, right? We all hate the first string quarterback and the second string if he was only in there.
Not Bears fans, not anymore.
Not anymore. Well, no. Not anymore. But what is it about we beat up some people who are there, and the day they're out or if they die or something, all we do is remember the good parts. And while they're there, everybody has bad parts. You beat up on these guys like there's no tomorrow. And what is it? Is that just natural for people?
Yeah,
or what?
That's natural. I think that that's called survival, right? If you're looking at psychology of it, You always remember the worst things that are in your face, and then, you know, we're all trained to forget a lot of the bad things, or we'd never do anything ever again. You know what I mean? So we're all kind of programmed, like physiologically, to remember how we slayed the, you know, elephant to feed our family versus the time that we screwed up and, you know, broke our leg.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what I recall was the thing I think that people are beating up around doing a comparison, Kevin, is I remember when he came into the, Bush came into Congress to give one of his State of the Union messages, and every guy's shaking his hand. And the announcer, whoever it was, you know, one of the lions of the time, said he's a man with some political enemies with the issues going on in Washington. He says, but he's a man with no personal enemies. Everybody in the place likes him. I mean, you know, which I think is different.
It is different. But he had, you know, in his day, you can't forget that in the Middle East, there were a lot of, you know, rumors or suppositions about his relationship with Saddam before, obviously, all of the wars started, and that a lot of the reason we got into that was because of personal animosity. So, you know, if you go back to that time period, there were, you know, we had some of the same general conversations, obviously to a different degree than we're having today, but same general conversations about our president that many other presidents have had.
Well, you know, Kevin, you can expand on this a little bit, because I think my feelings at the time was I really liked the guy. I thought he was somewhat in touch. Clearly, his war record and those things, that thing, he obviously knew what it was like to be with regular people because he was fighting alongside them. But he was somewhat of a child of influence. His dad was a politician, right, or something. And he, even though he did fight in the war, was a serious war hero. You know, he got involved with these oil guys. And he ended up, you know, I think with a lot of money from oil that I don't think he ever went out there and dug a hole. And there was all kinds of pictures of him sitting on the sofa with Noriega and things like that. I mean,
yep.
He was tight with all those dudes. And his son, who was somewhat of a ne'er-do-well, certainly up to age 40, George Jr., you know, all of a sudden gets off the booze and gets off the stuff and then becomes a real citizen. And like 2 years later, the guy's a head of the Texas Rangers. And the guy, you know, he didn't have any money. So, I mean, you do get this, you're always taking something from people, being involved in some stuff that maybe you weren't started in this pattern of always owing people along the way. You don't know how, and like Steph was saying, you don't know how much anybody owes anybody. And you know, I don't know how you can't be perfect, Kevin. I actually, in that regard, I almost prefer a Trump, who really was not part of that group. And I don't think anybody other than his dad really gave him much in him. And I don't like the way he does business, but it's not like he was ever preferred by anybody. Matter of fact, people don't like the guy for a lot of reasons. But you know what I'm saying? I don't know what I'm saying, but why don't you put it together for us, Professor?
That's okay. I never know what you're saying. Well, don't worry about it.
But, I mean, where am I going with this?
Let me respond, you know, because you asked me. You didn't ask me to take a shot at you, even though it is irresistibly fun.
Yes, go ahead.
But I think you're right, and to expand on Stephanie's point, I think history does tend to treat people more kindly in many cases, or let me put it this way, it's interpretive, and sometimes it's kinder and sometimes it's not, but either way, you know, through the filter of time, there are things that just don't seem as that aren't the hot button issues that they were in their day, and I think that's part of it as well, that we just don't necessarily we don't wind up feeling like the things that were flaws and that really bugged people at the time aren't necessarily the things that bug us now. Whether we've gotten used to certain things being true, certain issues being true, or whether it's just, you know, and maybe that's just too simple. Maybe it's more like, you know, we want to remember the past fondly. I'm not sure what it is, but we do tend to filter out a lot. But, you know, by the same token, if you look, you know, there still aren't a lot of people that say nice things about the Carter presidency, because
no.
it wasn't good. But are there people who aren't saying nice things about the Carter presidency but still saying nice things about President Carter himself, yeah, because of the way he lived his life after the presidency. And maybe that's the part about the elder Bush that that really comes into play, is the way he lived his life after the presidency was pretty restrained. He didn't go out and impose himself and continue to be a figure, polarizing, not polarizing, however you want to look at it. Maybe it's because he just kind of bowed out and said, okay, my time is done. It's time for the next people.
Well, he was sort of the right age for that. That's why I think that history is kind of screwed up, I believe, because he didn't win his second term. Because Clinton got the nomination because nobody else wanted it, because they thought the guy was unbeatable. And all of a sudden, now Clinton gets in 4 years too young, in my estimation. So if he'd have won that term, I think he'd have done a pretty nice job. We'd have gotten Clinton 4 years more mature, if there is such a thing for Bill Clinton. And,
yeah, I was going to say, up to 16 instead of 15.
But I'm saying it. History would have been written a little differently, I think. But I mean, even.
Well, it might have been. You remember that the big factor in the re-election was Ross Perot.
Yeah.
Perot hated the Bushes. He hated President Bush, and he hated everybody around him, and he made it a point to go torpedo that presidency, and he was successful. What did he get? 10% of the vote or something like that, and he took it almost all away from President Bush rather than Clinton.
I laugh. I have a younger brother who's about 8 years younger than I am, so I was much older at the time, but we were still watching Sesame Street at the time of that election, and they had a character on called Ross Perot, and it was a parrot that talked exactly like Ross Perot. I will never, ever forget that. It was the funniest thing you've ever seen.
Well, all these guys, you see them, and you wonder what's really behind them. We had a client here, my first huge client, and pretty much put PTI on the map. And then when he left, it wasn't such a good thing. But anyway, he was a real character. He's originally from Indiana, Columbus, Indiana, and moved to Arizona, and was probably the second biggest developer behind Keating in the savings and loan fiasco. Mm-hmm. But he managed to get out with his skin because he saw it coming and had sold I don't know how many properties in the year before. But anyway, he decides he doesn't like Clinton. He's rack rib Republican. I was the only Democrat evidently who's ever allowed in his house because he liked me. And so anyway, he decides to move to get rid of his citizenship. And he becomes a citizen of the Isle of Man with residency in Bermuda. And all this stuff takes a lot of dough and a lot of time. Even getting your driver's license in Bermuda, if you've driven your whole life, is like a week long project. And the dude, he gets to Bermuda, and the three houses around him are Ross Perot and his couple of kids. You know, they already had their escape plan, you know, out of here in case something. That's what the current group, Kevin, and I'm not, but the Bushes were always involved. I mean, you don't know what was the personal, you don't want a president that doesn't know anybody overseas, you know, like me. I've only been over a couple times. But you don't really want, you wonder as you, I don't know, I gotta drop back to another story. You know, our buddy Doc, not Dr. J, I said, I always want to play Olympia. Okay, so we go out, we play Olympia, and the guy who's we're a guest of is this former Catholic priest who had been teaching in Korea, and he said, U.S. is the greatest country in the world if you live here. If you live someplace else, you hate the place. All the place is the government is the advance arm and the military and the CIA of your big corporations. Because I was teaching economics, I got to the part about unions. The CIA showed up and told me not to talk about unions. How much of what goes on in the Middle East is all about oil companies? Bush was tight, really tight with those guys.
Yep.
You wonder, in the Saddam Hussein situation, if he was still alive, Saddam Hussein to his day would say, we pretty much told him it was okay to go get Kuwait. Because Kuwait was cross-drilling, under the border or something. And then we gave him the okay, the ambassador. I don't know if we did or didn't. I mean, it never really was proven one way or the other. But, and I remember being in the OEX pit the day before this happened, Morgan Stanley coming in and buying every put they could find. All of a sudden, Saddam invades Kuwait. And that night, George Bush coming out and saying it was a surprise invasion. It wasn't a surprise to Morgan Stanley. They made a fortune on that deal. Now, did they have their own satellite or what? But these are the little things I remember.
Right.
That, you know, I walked through President Roosevelt's memorial, and it's spectacular. There's one for every time he was in there. There's the war years. I don't see one in there. There's not a room for internment camps.
Right.
He did stuff that I'm not so sure I was too proud of, yet I'm ready to rank him as probably our number one president ever, except Washington or Lincoln, maybe. So, I mean, there's nobody seems to get out of this unscathed life, Kevin. Is that just the human
right.
situation
well,
or
and,
what?
And to, just to sort of go back to the beginning and what we were saying, what we can celebrate about the elder President Bush is that he served the country in lots of ways. Regardless of what may or may not have been in it for him, what whatever else the flaws were, he served in World War II. He served as director of the CIA. He served as vice president, as president. I think he was a congressman too, or
two terms.
He lost that.
He was 2-term congressman. He lost
election.
The Senate.
So there are a lot of people, whether career politicians in many cases. Yeah, and I'm not real fond of that notion, but there are a lot of people who have served the country, and President Bush, excuse me, is one of them.
You never had any question that he was actually looking out for the best interests of the U.S. Like that
I would
was
agree.
His first concern. You know that
you may, correct. I agree with you, Stephanie.
And yesterday, the one guy said he probably was the most prepared person. With all the jobs he had beforehand to be president.
That's probably true. I think sometimes that leaves you with some baggage, though, that then, hurts you later. I mean, one of the things that I think is interesting is, you were bringing this up earlier, is he kind of got out at an age when he could bow out. I find it's going to be interesting. Obama's still pretty young, comparatively.
Yeah.
And so, you see him dipping back in here and there, and I wonder what that's going to do in history. Because, honestly, I mean, he's too young to not do anything else in life. And where is his true calling, or where can he provide the most value? It probably is in politics or in philanthropy or something as such. So it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up.
Well, I'll lob this one out there. I don't want to mandate something like this, but I'm going to say that your best time to be president is probably, if you are healthy, between 70 and 78, if you're healthy, because you've picked up everything along the road to life you're going to pick up, and, you're going to learn, because I feel, I'm getting older, but I also feel I know a lot more than I did 5 years ago. I mean, the thought of me being president at age 45, but then again, people have talent. John Kennedy, was young, but he was also fought a war young and everything else. So, times are changed. What I'm saying is, we don't really need 4 ex-presidents that are 55 years old. Hey, we got to pay the bleeps another 30 years and protect them.
Yeah.
And probably, I'm going to say Clinton is more prepared to be president today than when he was president. I'm going to say the same thing about Obama.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think Clinton has had some diminished mentality issues.
Well, I was going to say that. But in general, I would say at age, how old is he? Is he 70?
I think so. I would have said back in maybe, I would say rather than 70s, I'd probably say, late 50s, 60s would be better.
Okay.
You want somebody that's got some energy still. And although you and several other individuals of your age still do, not all 70-year-olds do.
Well, I'm not 70 yet. Give me a break.
but closing fast.
Yeah.
on the other hand, I think energy is not something that Trump, a man in his 70s, is lacking.
No.
Whatever you like or don't like, you sure can't complain about the energy, because I don't think the guy sleeps. And when through the last election cycle, his time on the road was an incredible schedule.
You know what, Kevin? I'm going to say that
he'd walk out into those rallies and deliver, deliver energy for sure.
You know what? I'm going to say that this is my one shot at the population in general, and you get to do that once in a while, I guess. I'd be on I was on the board of the SIBO, and somebody who was an intelligent guy or a lady would stand up and they'd make a comment at a board or at a members meeting, and somebody would go, "Hey, Joe should be on the board. Joe's real smart." And I'd say, no, Joe shouldn't be on the board. And they go, well, why is that? Why do you get that? I said, I don't get to choose who gets on the board. I said, I've known Joe for 15 years. The door's never hit him in the ass. It's 3:20. He's on the 3:30 train.
Right. So
being on the board, being chairing a committee, being on three committees means 4 nights a week you're here. You know, after right. everybody else is long gone. So it's any job like that is 90% perspiration, you know, 10% inspiration. I mean, I'm going to say every single president, every single one, maybe with the possible exception of Eisenhower because, you know, I don't know, he liked his golf. Of course, sort of Obama, I guess. Those guys, their ability to campaign, their ability to string 20-hour days in a row, Kevin, is light years past 98% of the population. I mean, the guy on the sofa drinking a beer criticizing, which, you know, I could be too, it hasn't put in a week like that ever. But even Tricky Dick had an amazing, amazing energy. The White House started at 7. They ended up they'd leave at 6, and he'd work till 10. Nobody does that.
Right.
And these guys all do, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Yeah, there are some in Washington who have reputations for being lazy, but there are... But that's... They stand out because you're right. So there is so much that goes into the job. You really do need to live it, and love it.
Yeah, I mean, and Trump, you can't ever bitch about the guy's energy level. Not at all.
Well, no, but I mean, if you look at his schedule compared to some of other presidents' schedules, I mean, he definitely works at a different pace in the White House. Now, you know, what he tweets is a whole other story.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely energetic on that side. But I agree with you. I think, you know, these guys really learn how to catch catnaps and how to work with very little sleep. So it's that's respectful for sure.
Well, that's why when they do the campaigns and you're in 15 cities on a small plane in Illinois, you better have your stump speech memorized like you could give it in your sleep because half the time you are.
Exactly.
Am I right, Kevin? I mean, you sort of are, right? I mean, the last thing you want to do is when you're dead tired start taking questions from people.
Well, hey, and you need to have a stump speech anyway. I have learned that now. In fact, I have to do a keynote speech on Thursday evening. And so what are you going to say? Well, here, you know, same thing I've said about a million times before because it's my classroom speech, too.
Are you going to mention
that? I mean it. You know, I absolutely mean everything I say, but it is nice to have a stump speech.
Are you going to mention Stacks and Jacks?
I may. I actually I put it in the bio for being introduced. So,
oh God,
great.
But you're going worldwide. You know, is all right,
Kevin.
We got a minute and a half, then we got to toss you.
Ceremony.
What's the scoop on the playoffs? We'll see you till Friday.
Well, favorites are double digit favorites according to Las Vegas. So we have that. Just to sort of clean it up because we have 2 minutes. I think they chose the right field for it. There's a lot of complaining, but as I look at schedules, Oklahoma has an opening game against Florida Atlantic, who's a Conference USA team, which means they're the upper division, and that's it. Everything else on their schedule is a legitimate type of team that an Oklahoma should be playing, and I don't begrudge anybody their one game, especially if it's the MAC or Conference USA or something like that. Ohio State doesn't have anybody like that. I think their worst game is probably Tulane, and that's another Conference USA team. So I don't But then I go look at Georgia, where everybody is complaining. Well, they're really, you know, they passed this eye test and they're really good. Well, Georgia has a game against Austin Peay. They have a game against Middle Tennessee, and then they went and threw in Massachusetts on top of it in the week before their rivalry game against Georgia Tech. And I look at that and say, you know, don't tell me that you have this extra data point because you had to play in a conference championship game. Sorry, guys, if you want to try and schedule yourself into a winning season, then don't lose two games. So I have no sympathy for that. So I think they got it right. I go look at some of the other ones. Alabama.
All right, Kevin, we got a
terrible schedule.
We're gonna let you go, bud.
But Oklahoma did not.
We'll continue this on Friday. Our week's all jumbled up with tomorrow off. Take care of yourself, bud. S&P futures now down 12.75. Dow futures down 146. NASDAQ futures down 47. Oil up another 99 cents. So oil's booming again today, 2 days in a row. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks. Jocks.
Stars and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Tyson Jackson. I'm Tim Al. She's Stephanie Koenig. She's Jay-Z on the board. S&P futures down 12. Dow futures down 136. And the futures down 44. This is after yesterday's big day to the upside, but then we sold off about halfway in the Dow, so maybe not quite halfway. So if we close here, we're up for the 2 days, but not dramatically. Over in Europe, they were all up yesterday, percent or two. We got the DAX up down 81.7%, FTSE down 59.8%, CAC around down 35%, so they're not down as much as we were up yesterday, like us. We're in Asia, whack on the Nikkei, down 538, 2.4%. Shanghai, however, is up 11, that's 0.4. Hang Seng up a little bit, 78.29, but they're 27,260. They're on their entire gains of yesterday. Again, we've got oil up 99 cents now, 53.94. But two huge days in oil. We're still only not even $54, which is better than under 50 for sure, but it's still not exactly scraping 70. Ran up $1.34, so that spread is widened now to $9. Call it $9. Natural gas up 4 cents, 4.38. RBOB up 3 cents, 1.46. Staff, 191 I got Sunday morning for the Suburban. 36 gallons. It needed a big drink. home heating oil, 193, so that's up a little bit as we're still cold. Silver up 13 cents. Gold up 490. Yes! Jay-Z, what do you guys for Travis Brothers Sports? It's cold out.
Yep. Just a little bit chilly, but not too bad just yet. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:37. Chicago is currently cloudy and 30. Today's high is going to be 33, low of 25. Phoenix is sunny with a high of 68 and a low of 40. Pretty quiet morning, no scores to report, and there are also no accidents. So, back to you.
Joel, how are you?
I'm doing great. Would you want to talk college football or college basketball?
Well, I first want to mention the weather. We got a memo yesterday, a copy of last year's Sunday morning softball newsletter on December 3rd, saying what a beautiful day it was on December 2nd, what a great game we all had. We haven't played in 10 weeks this year.
Yeah, well, it's been snowing for 10 weeks.
I know.
Weeks
I mean,
here.
The weather's been awful compared to last year. What do you want to talk? You like the football playoff guys or no? And then we got to talk a little bit about the inverted yield curve in the between the 2 and the 5. Is
yeah,
that the start?
We can talk of that. You're not going to like my college football rant though.
All right, well, go ahead. Give us a little bit though.
All right. Well, first of all, Clemson, Notre Dame. I'm going all Clemson. You know, Notre Dame. I mean, yeah, they beat Michigan. Weak schedule. They play 4 ACC teams. They really weren't tested. They wouldn't join a conference. So I want Clemson to beat Notre Dame. And then I want Oklahoma to beat Alabama, because then the Ohio State fans will be thinking, oh, we could have beat Alabama. And then I want Clemson to crush Oklahoma. So that's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. But
you're
hopefully
dreaming.
It won't just be Bama winning again.
Well, I will say this about the Irish. Looking at the year in prospect, I looked at the schedule, and just because of the teams that were on there, I said, these guys are going to be, you know, give them 8-4 maybe. I mean, you had Michigan. I mean, these are storied programs. Michigan State, Stanford, Southern Cal, and who else do they have? Florida State. I mean, we're not talking about a weenie schedule by any stretch, but by the names going in.
No.
It just happened.
We're storied programs.
Michigan State.
I mean,
Southern
going
Cal.
Back in history, yeah, but this year, no.
Stanford's never a layup. Florida State.
What, wasn't Florida State 500 or something that?
What I said was, looking at the schedule last year when I looked at it, I go,
okay.
Who put this together? Somebody doesn't like us? I mean, right? And then all of a sudden, they beat Michigan, they feel great, and then 2 days, you know, all of a sudden Michigan's not as good. Michigan State had a horrible year. But sometimes those guys are tough as hell. I mean, what you're talking about?
You don't know. I mean, it's the only controversy was the Oklahoma-Ohio State. The only reason I want Ohio State to grab that fourth spot is Michigan would have made it to the Rose Bowl. But, I mean, that loss to Purdue was pretty bad, and I do find solace in the fact that there's no way Ohio State can win the national championship, so that would be good. I just, you know, I don't want to see Ohio State win or Bama win. I guess then Oklahoma. I guess then Notre Dame or Clemson. So I guess if I had to take the top two, it would be Notre Dame and Clemson. Unfortunately, they're playing each other in the first game. But just real quick on Michigan hoops, I don't know if you caught any of that Carolina game or the Purdue game, but keep an eye out for Izzy Brasdakis. He's a freshman, a 6'7 guy, just a banger, 20-year-old. He can hit three-pointers. He can drive. So we'll see. They got a tough game at Northwestern tonight, but we will see.
What do you make of this yield curve inverting? When I say inverting,
I got some breaking news here from my buddy on the desk, and he says that Urban Meyer will formally announce his retirement following Ohio State's appearance in the Rose Bowl. Ryan Day will be named head coach.
There you go. Well, I mean, I think he's
hallelujah.
Sick. I think he's sick.
Hallelujah. I don't care if we never beat him. At least we got Urban out of there. You saw that coming. I mean, he looked stressed out, but I don't know. My buddy Chubbs, the big Notre Dame fan, who would you probably like, just confirmed that news. So,
wow.
Urban out at Ohio State. I don't know.
What do you think of the Bulls? What do you think of the Bulls just getting their best player back and firing a coach on the same day? The Bulls have their best players is Lauri Markkanen. He busted up his elbow in training camp, so he's been out for 8 weeks. He finally is back to play like yesterday, and they fired a coach.
Oh, jeez. All right. But you want to talk? We got a couple minutes here. You want to talk about the markets at all?
Yeah. What about yield curve?
Oh, okay. Rising interest rates, and now we're going to a recession? I don't know. I mean, that's what the yield curve is trying to tell us. We'll watch, you know, the 2 and the 10 year, but I don't know. I think the economy, just the eyeball test, looks okay to me. I don't know what's underneath the hood. I know what you're thinking, though, Chief.
I think it's been a problem. It's a tale of two economies. You know, some people have done fine.
Yep.
People have assets. Have done fine. People that don't have it. It's very simple.
I mean, as far as the market goes, I mean, everyone's looking for new highs by the end of the year. I'm still like in the trading range camp here, and I think we might have hit the top of that trading range yesterday, just bouncing between 2650, 2850 in the spoos. I'm not the one that's looking for new all-time highs. But, and I mean, this whole truce China thing, then why do we start anything up if we're just going to have a truce? I don't understand it. I just think it's a lot of ballyhoo, and it gives you know, Trump an opportunity to tweet and move the markets violently in a day.
Well, you've been a guy all year who talked, and Steph has mentioned this as well, of, you know, the market was so narrow earlier in the year. It was the FANGs. And if you weren't, if you're a money manager like me and you somehow didn't have even your small clients in the FANGs, which is pretty darn hard to do, you were dragging all year. You weren't doing it. You're lucky if you're up, and probably you weren't, because the rest of the market was barely up. And I think a lot of the rest of the market was down. If you took the FANGs, Boeing, Caterpillar, maybe a couple others out of there. If you were in the, I keep trying to get out of my gold and silver and stuff and put it in the financial area. I'd have been down there worse. They're not,
you know what? Gold is looking a little perky here. You know, see if we can break above 1250. It's been that 1200 to 1250 trading range forever. Maybe the surprise rally will be in the gold market here if we can break above 1250.
Well, with Apple getting all this grief from their suppliers, and Amazon, I don't see Amazon going back to 2150 anytime soon. If those guys aren't leading, what's going to lead to new highs?
It's just going to be boring, the same boring stuff that I've been investing in for the past 100 years. And, you know, the value, the dividends, your AT&T. I mean, I've never had these wild winter, you know, these big growth stocks. I never have, never will. I'm just going to try and grind out 3, 4, 5, 6% until they put me away. That you got to have, you know, set your expectations for the market and be consistent with your investing. And you know, that's never been in the high flyers, never will.
I you know, we could make an awful lot of money if the three of us put together a pool, and then all of a sudden somebody gave us $1 billion. The three of us managed it. What do you guys think of this as a theme? Pick out the top 25 companies with their noses the furthest up the ass of government and just invest in those companies.
Well, I think there's merit in it. I'm not sure where we're going to find the billion-dollar person, but
well,
hey,
we can find somebody. You got guys.
Yeah, sure.
But, I mean, we'd be in, You got to be in these communication companies because they just own the world. And you got to be in AT&T, much as I hate the place. I mean, they just own the place. I mean, you know, you got to be in the ones that do the defense stuff. I'd hate like hell to. I'd have to hold my nose behind every one of these companies. Yet I'm convinced that would be a big winner, Joel. What do you think?
You know how you make a small fortune in the commodities markets?
Well, you take a
start with the large one.
Start with a large one. Joel, thank you very much, buddy. Might need you later in a week. Oh, you guys
hey,
are off
go
to,
blue. You, beat the Wildcats tonight, 9 o'clock start.
Oh God,
8 p.m. Central. Go blue.
SP futures up 12.75. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howes. She is Miss Stephanie Koenig. She's Jay-Z on the board. Two females here this morning. But I'm surviving somehow.
Hey.
SP futures down 950. Dow futures down 112. And Nasdaq futures down 35. Hey, Steph.
I need a short name. You got Jay-Z. You got Chief.
We just go with Steph. That's good.
Well, we can. But I'm something a little more pizzazzy, I think.
Yeah, she wants a nickname.
Well,
we got to think of one.
That's when Jay-Z, instead of being part of the problem, becomes part of the solution. What do you have? Get one.
Yeah, we'll have
to
work on
it. All right, I got to think on it.
There's a Speaking of which, her name was Stephanie. Larry Beebe's clerk, a character in the OEX pit.
Mm-hmm.
Just a wild man trader back in the day. So Stephanie's his clerk, and she'd run down the aisle and she'd bump right into me because I was leaning on a rail and Larry was a few guys to my right. And she'd go, "Larry, Larry, we got a problem." And I go, "Stephanie, does that look like a man who's looking for another problem? I think you should come back here with a solution." I don't think she ever appreciated that all that much, but
no, but it's actually good advice in life.
So when we were talking about the yield curve, we'll take 2 seconds here to bore everybody. What a yield curve means is that now just think about it. When you loan somebody money for a longer period of time, an awful lot of stuff can happen in the meantime. So generally, your yield, you want a little bit more to guarantee that there's not going to be inflation pop, anything like that. So generally, if you lend somebody money for 6 months in a normal world, they might say, "I want 3%, but if it's a year and a half, I want 4 or something like that, right, Steph? I mean, it's,
yep.
Well, right, and so when things happen the other way, it usually shows that something is out of whack. Like back in the 80s when Bull Volcker was fighting the interest rates, the short term was as much as 18 and long term was 12. So that would be seriously inverted, meaning the further out one is actually lower. Now what these people are talking about on the TV and the radio the last couple of days, I'll just rattle these off and see if you can catch where the inversion is. It's very slightly inverted, but it's very, very flat. 1 month, 2.3. These are treasury yields. 2 months, 2.35. 3 month, 2.38. 6 month, 2.56. 1 year, 2.72. 2 year, 2.83. 3 year, 2.84. Now here's what they're talking about. 5 year, 2.83. So there's a slight inversion. Yeah. What we're really saying is from 2 year to 5 year, it's damn near, it's flat. Now 7 year, 2.9. So why would anybody give anybody their money for 7 years at 2.9 when you could do it for 6 months at 2.56? Probably nobody. 10 year, 2.98, which again, very, very, not much of a premium. 20 year, 3.15. 30 year, 3.27. You give, with the money supply that's been flying around with the inflation that I'm seeing, if you give anybody your money for 30 years for 3.27, I want to play poker with you.
Yeah, Steph, for just, sure.
Just saying. Hey, Steph, is obviously one of our few, not few, we have several. I would love you to comment. Don't go too crazy on it. The story we talked yesterday among the males,
mm-hmm.
is you've had, there seems to be some blowback, which is, I guess is expected. I don't know. The Me Too movement where, you know, an awful lot of ladies have been treated poorly in a lot of ways. There's a lot of guys have been treated poorly, but not the same. A lot of ladies have had events that they shouldn't have had to put up with working or in school or someplace, and we all kind of get that. There's a lot of boorish dudes around in situations that they probably shouldn't be in. And now you've got a lot of, but of course the legal system has gotten in the middle. It's not just a question of seeing a guy being a boor and firing his ass. And you know, and not give them a good recommendation. Now there's got to be, you know, lawsuits. The company should have known. And in many cases, the company was told and definitely should have known because they were told. So I'm not, you know, getting in the middle of any of that. But I'm saying it's not surprising to me that when you see companies getting rid of all Christmas parties, certainly no booze at Christmas parties, and we're having, you know, tea and cupcakes for 20 minutes from 5 to 5:20 and, you know, the Friday in December and then get the hell out of here. I'm not surprised that people aren't taking it to the next step and saying, "I don't want men and women teams working together on the road." Yeah, I don't mind the guys playing golf at Butler when they can't have women, and maybe if the women take their clients out, they can go somewhere else. I'm not surprised there's not some kind of a blowback, but that's not where we want to go either.
No, but are we getting to like the Middle East? I mean, here, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, where you need an escort, maybe it's women escorting other women around. I mean, so it gets to be extreme, but yes, there's definitely blowback, but there's been blowback even before the Me Too movement. I mean, you know, I've been in situations where I know I can ask either a colleague or even more is usually a client. So, you know, being a woman and being an executive, I can't necessarily go to my client and say, "Hey, do you want to go out for a cocktail tonight?" Especially if he's a male. I usually have to say, "Hey, you know, Bob and I are going out for a cocktail. Would you like to join?" Because otherwise it seems like, it can be taken as either an inappropriate request.
Wait a minute.
Request.
Who's Bob?
Yeah, exactly. Right. But, it can be seen as an inappropriate, request, or people just get nervous, and then you kind of ruin that relationship.
All right, I got to ask. So, Chief, you want to go out for a cocktail tonight with Bob, and I say yes. Then you go to Bob. You say, do you want to go out with a cocktail night with Chief?
Well, actually, Bob usually have already checked with to see if Bob's free for a cocktail.
Well, so how does Bob get to go first?
Well, I mean, usually I have a colleague or two. Yeah. But you know what? I have a colleague or two who's clearly not worried about me. But people who don't know you necessarily as well. You know, I've also had bosses who, I'll be like, let's go out, da-da-da, they're fine. And then suddenly, every time you ask them, there's 500 other people along, and it seems to be only with you, or they'll take the guys from the office out on a one-on-one discussion. You know, it's people have to protect themselves, and I get that. But as women, you do lose some of that that connection, and you need that connection to get promoted. You need that connection to efficiently work within an environment. So it's disappointing, but I guess it's kind of you didn't expect anything different.
Well, if you're the boss, and you fly someplace, and you're meeting a client, and you bring somebody, obviously, who's not the boss with you.
A colleague.
If it's a male, and somehow or another the plane's late, and you land in Boston, and you hit the hotel at 9:30, and you can't really go to dinner anywhere, you have no problem saying to the male, let's go down to the bar and grab a beer and a burger. It's late, but we still got to eat. And yet, that would be considered by some, maybe untoward with a female. It shouldn't be.
No, but you know what? I mean, you don't have the same kind of issues. At least you don't hear about the same kind of issues in European companies and the same kind of issues in a lot of other places. You know, we are a Puritan society. We're all uptight about sex, and we're all uptight about relationships, and we're really not taught about alcohol until we get to an age where we're irresponsible. So it's just, I think all of that combined leads it to a place where instead of trying to solve what the general social issue is, which is the fact that women in a lot of cases, not in all cases, are not treated the same, and we have a cultural bias in this country, and not with everyone, but with many people, and that's accepted, we go the other extreme and start talking about how do we create process to ensure that these situations never arise so there's no one that's uncomfortable, right? It's just, I mean,
there's a middle ground, and I will not profess to be the expert. I mean, I probably have avoided those situations more than I should have, to be honest with you. But how much, as your significant other is an attorney, bless his soul, how much do you think the legal system has caused somewhat of a problem here? Because I think I've heard of people at other firms where they say, well, you know, we've hired this lady and she's our receptionist.
Mm-hmm.
And we're scared bleepless. Why? Well, we found out after, because you can't ask anybody at the...
Right.
The thing is, all of a sudden, she's got three lawsuits at three other places where somebody walked by her talking to another guy and was telling a dirty joke not meant for her ears, and she overheard it, and all of a sudden, she's got her underwear in a knot. That type of, and there's a lawsuit everywhere she goes. But there's like patients that have plastic surgery everywhere, and there's a lawsuit every place they go. I mean, how did the legal system, people are terrified of this system.
Of course, and the problem is that's partly because it's costly for those who are defending themselves and wrongfully accused, just like it's, you know, and it's very inexpensive for those who are necessarily accusing. And so, you know, I think there's some issues obviously there with the way the legal system works, and we definitely need some reform. But, I mean...
Mm-hmm. What reform would that reform take? There has to be a little bit of a penalty for the quote frivolous suit, but then again, how do you know it's frivolous until you read it?
You don't, but at the same point, why is, you know, a lot of these attorneys will take your case based on whatever they can get back, right? And if you're defending yourself, it's not like you have a attorney who's going to take your case based on whatever they can get to defend you as if you're, you know, being innocent. So there's a whole incentive, financial incentive that's kind of reversed here as to the way it should be, meaning, you know, you should be able to, it shouldn't cost you a ton of money to defend yourself.
But it does. And then so, S&P futures still down 9. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR. Innovation in Human Resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Howe. She's Stephanie Koenig. Steph on the board. Co-hosting the name Jay-Z, Jessica Zalewski. She's turned into Jay-Z on the board. So Jay-Z, you like Jay-Z? That's a catchy one.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, the only problem is that somebody already has that name.
Well, somebody.
Yeah, but I like you better.
We like you better.
There's anything wrong with that Jay-Z. He actually seems to be a decent human being.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong. You know, I just want.
Oh, it's
an
a he, and I was
going
to ask who you were talking about. Well, Steph, you're going to get to the point where you're when you become worldwide, you know, on the air.
You'll just be like Yao or like Ronaldo or like LeBron. You'll be like a one-namer.
Yeah, Madonna. Let's go for
someone. Yeah, Madonna. There you go. We'll see. Who's the other one? There's a couple of ladies with the one. There's the one name.
Cher.
Cher. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Cher. Mm. The, wow.
With that.
So we've got the episode down in Argentina. Where,
yes.
And what do you make of that? I mean, those that listen to the show know that Steph was on the trading floor, was in work for the government for a while. Now she's working for a consulting firm, so she's probably our more multi-dimensional, different industry person we have on here, because I'm locked in my numbers, unfortunately, and a few other people are locked where they are. But what do you make of this? I mean, you sort of knew that they were going to declare some kind of victory. So you kind of wanted to get long, but then again, the volatility was high enough that if you just bought calls yesterday and didn't sell them right away, you made a little bit, probably not as much as the risk you warranted taking, but if you did a spread, you did okay. I mean, what do you make of what's happening here? I mean, the market is moving on this political stuff. Do you think these guys are trading again? I mean, it's just weird. I mean, it's just weird.
Now, I'm assuming by Argentina, you're talking about Trump and China.
Yes.
Okay. Versus Argentina's economy,
Putin,
which I wasn't
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, you know, and all the people who were down there, and Putin and the guy from Saudi Arabia. I mean, everybody who's.
Right. I mean, you know, there's a whole bunch of wheeling and dealing, I'm sure, that's going on. Trump is trying, I think, to claim victory. I'm still not sure. They put a truce on this, okay? And, my question really comes down to is, okay, they put a truce on it. Is anyone giving up anything, or are we just back to square one? I'm just not sure where we're ending up. And I don't see anyone talking about the details of the deal, because it seems like no one knows the details of the deal. So what's going on, really?
Well, we'll cut back to the deal before.
Yes.
The NAFTA deal, which is no longer now the NAFTA deal. It's another deal. Now,
the new NAFTA deal.
There seems like there's stuff going on a bunch of different levels. There is some change to the old deal. I'm going to say, I'll lob one out there. I'm going to say that the old deal is 95% intact.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
There's been some change, I guess, in the dairies, just because Trump talked about it all the time. And there's some deal with the General Motors, or with the automakers that I could be a little off. 65% of all the parts and stuff that fly back and forth have to have been made somewhere where people are making over $16 an hour. Is that the deal, something like that?
That's what I've heard, yes.
But still, very sketchy. Very sketchy. You don't really... I've yet to see, and I'm sure, maybe I missed it. If a reader's, reader or listener's got one, lob it at me, or throw it at me, whatever. I've yet to see somebody with a serious article saying, old NAFTA, left column, new NAFTA, right column, and 20 significant changes. Have you seen that? I have not.
I have not, and it seems like no one really knows. Although, the Congress has got the deal, so I don't understand why there's no one that's done that evaluation.
So, right now, he is threatened that if Congress does not vote for the new deal, he's going to unilaterally dismiss the old deal, which was approved by Congress.
Correct.
So, and nobody seems to know. The attorneys have both sides of it. This is going to go right to the court. Can the executive branch on something that was approved by Congress cancel it unilaterally? Has it got to go back to Congress?
I don't know, but it sounds a little fishy to me.
So now is he going to test out his new Supreme Court and go try it there and have them vote for him?
Why not?
I mean, how many things are going on here? I mean, what is part of this that we're trying to make this thing a dictatorship, or what are we doing? And when I say that, everybody's been trying to get more and more power into that spot for a long time. Bush Sr., who we are mourning tomorrow and today, who just about everybody liked, including me.
He pushed the boundaries.
Well, when he went to the Gulf War I,
mm-hmm.
Creatures around him, the Rumsfelds and the Cheneys, or the neocons, were absolutely convinced that he didn't have to go to Congress, that he could do that on his own.
Yeah, he didn't need to declare war. It was a skirmish.
But I believe he did go to Congress for approval, even though there was not a formal...
I thought he went afterwards.
But he did more than they wanted him to do.
He
pushed back against his own guys.
Correct.
And so every one of the administrations for about the last six just keeps trying to increase the power of the presidents.
Yes.
And Congress, somehow or another is so lost in their next election that they have not pushed back at all.
Well, they've made minimal impact on that or stood up for very little with regards to their own power. They've sort of been slowly seceding it.
Well, now, if you give the president unilateral power to cancel a treaty that by law you had to approve, how can that fly?
I don't know. It seems like then the fact that you approved it really didn't mean very much.
Right.
Because you can approve anything then, and if they don't have the ability to veto it, then they just terminate it.
Well, yeah, it's
do you know what I'm saying?
It's
so, I mean, from that perspective, then Congress has completely given up their approval power, but yet alone the power for anything that they approve to stay.
Well, and I agree with that. And when you talk about this, the Supreme Court judges, and this is on both sides, and you clearly can make the trail for the Democratic Congress, you know, pull some power punches and it came back basically to bite them in the ass, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
When you have the, I'm going to say, I'm going to state facts here. Whether it should be this way or not should be this way, people can debate till their nose falls off their face. But fact is, we in the Senate, we can get the way the voting totals are, we can get minority representation in the Senate,
mm-hmm.
and not in the House, but in the Senate. Okay, so. Well, even in the House, if people gerrymander enough, you can get that way for a while, but that comes and goes. I'm not all that worried about that, especially as we have a couple of court cases about that. In the Senate, you have amazingly minority representation. Now, if that's the case, which it is, and when I say minority representation, a vote in North Dakota or Alaska counts 1/50th of the vote that won in California.
Right, so they get the same amount of power as
right.
across.
So, but again, I can live with that. But now, if that's the group that is appointing an entire other, part of government, which is supposed to be just as strong, the judiciary, for life, I think that's too much. I mean, I don't care if it's the Democrats or the Republicans, it's too much.
Because so, you're saying that they don't need to actually... they don't need to agree or they don't need to find a middle ground?
Well, what I'm saying is if 35% of the country somehow gets a majority in the Senate...
Yeah, which is not necessarily representation of the population.
Which is not representative of the population.
Right.
I can live with it for several elections. I think it'll come back the other way. But if those people, in turn, get to appoint people for 40 years...
Yeah, that stay in...
Now we're pushing it.
Oh, that's a very good point.
I don't care if it's Democrats or Republicans. Now we're pushing it.
No, we don't need to be... for 40 years going down a particular path. We need to kind of continue down a middle road.
And I think what's happening now with these guys jamming up the appeals courts and the Supreme Courts with people I consider to be, in some regard, reactionary thinking. And I know some people are going to say, oh, you know, well, that's, you know, they're just strict constitutionalists. That's such BS.
That's not.
The Constitution is always on your side, or it isn't, the Constitution made a mistake. You know, or you knew what the guy was really thinking or something. But what I'm saying is to have a filibuster where the other party, let's put it this way, for you to need to have 60 votes to confirm somebody for life.
Right.
To me is not a hurdle I don't want to see.
No, I agree. That was even at the time when they changed the voting requirements on that. It blew me away. Why would you ever do that?
If you can't find Democrat or Republican, if you can't find somebody that 60 out of 100
agrees with you, yeah.
I mean, somebody who's enough, if it means they got to be a little bit more middle of the road, that's fine. And it's fine for Republicans and it's fine for Democrats,
agreed.
In my opinion. So, I mean, you know, the last thing you want is a Senate that's minority represented pushing through 15 people with 51 votes. In my opinion.
Well,
I don't care which party it is.
Right. I agree. You know, because as you pointed out, it's 40 years, you know, at a minimum or roughly, of impact on this country and on laws. And really what does affect us all on a daily basis is the amount of laws and how laws are implemented, or rather how laws are enforced.
Now, if you want to go with the 50 and you want to amend the Constitution to say the Supreme Court justices can serve 2 15-year consecutive terms or 10, I'll roll with that. But something's got to change. You're not putting 40-year-old guys on there or ladies that might live to be 90 and saddle people with their view. Who knows what the world will be like 50 years from now?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And the fact that, so I was reading a really fabulous article, or interesting article, I should say, last night. It talked about conservatives and liberals and why people lend themselves to one direction or another. And it really was done based on a study that they've been working on for a number of years. It talked about people's fear and really kind of what motivated them in life. So individuals who were more motivated by personal safety and by fear of their personal safety tended to be more conservative, whereas those who felt more comfortable and less worried about their own personal safety tended to be more liberal. And it was interesting, the part of the study that they sort of did to determine this was they took a room full of both conservatives and liberals, and they split them in two. And one side, they told them, hey, you know, if you could have a superpower in the world, you could fly. And that group pretty much stuck down what their political views they walked in the front door with. And then the other half, they told them, you have a superpower, no one can ever hurt you, you're completely immune to anyone ever hurting you. And what they found was is that conservatives, people who walked in who were conservative originally, became a lot more, their thoughts and their political views became a lot more middle-leaning as they started to stop worrying about their own personal safety. It was a very fabulous article. Interesting. It shows kind of that a lot of what we think is what we bring to the table.
What was the name of the article?
I'll have to bring it up. It's I think it was on Bloomberg.
All right, I have a question for you two females. The group that I find changes politically a lot in that regard is your guys' union, the females.
Women, yeah, it is.
Because when ladies are younger, I always, when I criticize, but I think I've never met a group that thought they were more bulletproof. I used to remember young ladies, beautiful young ladies, jogging by Cabrini Green with their headphones in, not even, you know, running by drug deals on the corner, not even thinking that there was a problem. No guy would be dumb enough to do that. I mean, and yet, fast forward to them being 35 years old with four kids, and if they're gonna, a lot of times they're gonna vote for anybody who says, if there's a rapist, murderer, child molester in the neighborhood, they'll lock him away forever. They don't want them anywhere near their kids. They're willing to take the risk, but their perception changes. They become very susceptible to, what you just said, Steph, protection sort of politics.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, the kids are gone or whatever. They might go back the other way. I mean, but you know, one of the most interesting articles I read, this is me being Mr. Numbers guy. It was kind of a University of Chicago sort of article where it says that most people are smart enough to realize that for you to spend the hours per week you need to really dig into, you know, what's Trump's policies, what's the Democratic policies, or even was a party there, you know, what really are your state representatives' policies or this, that, the other thing, and you go and vote, one vote, it should be painfully obvious, even for the dumbest among us, that your vote is not worth the time you spent. It's not worth enough. It's like peeing in Lake Michigan, basically. Right? I mean, it's walking down the block, it doesn't cut anything. Especially in Illinois or one of these states that are either totally right and totally blue and you can't even, you know, whatever. So, what you do is you link up with like-minded people and you assume they're doing the research and you lock up with them. And that to me is one of the most interesting articles I've read, because right now, if you go anywhere, if there's eight people sitting at a table without even knowing, you drop a policy in the middle of the table, I'm going to say, seven of the eight immediately, the first thing I think of is that a conservative or a liberal plan. And I'll, if I think it's liberal plan and I'm a conservative, I'm against it, or the other way. And so you let other people do your thinking for you instead of saying, I don't care where everybody is on this one, here's where I am on it.
Right, yeah.
You don't see much of that.
No, we've conditioned people. And I think, you know, I think that's actually a product of the social media and Twitter and all that sorts of stuff, where you know, you kind of get in a community and that community sort of insulates itself. I mean, look at Facebook and what their ultimate goal is. Their goal is to find you friends and people who think and are interested in the things you're interested in, right? Same with like dating apps and all these other things, right? They're all trying to funnel you down into like-minded people. And I think that's really had a really big impact on the way we all think, because you no longer hear or are exposed to people that think differently, and there's no longer conversation because you get that mentality, that group mentality, where hey, we're all right and you guys are all wrong, and we've seen that mob mentality in a lot of places. It usually does not produce quality output.
Well, you never, if you're going to clam up, basically, I mean, I could do. I told you that I was bounce some consideration from a station in town because I'm not liberal enough.
You were bound from consideration for what?
They were thinking about putting me on, offering us a time in the morning at a station here in Chicago. And they listened to the show and said, "You're not liberal enough. No, you're not liberal at all. You're more in the middle." I said, "Well, I have people from both sides, and we're looking to find like the answer. Sometimes the answer's on the liberal side, sometimes it's on the other side. Oh, we don't want that." Okay. So I'm supposed to espouse the liberal thing even if I think it's wrong. Well, yeah. You don't want me, I don't want you. Out of here. Whatever. So
we can watch that a lot. I mean, you know, if you watch Fox News, and a lot of people do, there's some great reporting that happens on there, but you can watch a lot of the reporters who've come over from other stations where they were a lot more middle ground and move over there, and suddenly they're kind of on the train of being...
You're not talking about my girlfriend Liz Klayman, are you?
Well, she's made the jump like many others.
A Jewish girl went to Berkeley. Now all of a sudden, every 20 minutes, she's got to lob out some right-wing epithet. I guess she'll do anything for money.
Some people, you know, or it goes back to the original point, which when you're around people that think the same, think a particular way, you get influenced. You know, it's one of many things.
Well, I mean, but you know, the weird part is appealing to people's lower level works.
Well, that was the point of this study, was the lowest level that people really react to is personal safety. And so, you know, if you can appeal to that personal safety, then you will automatically drive people who react to that more conservative. And that people who are less worried about such things, you may have no impact on. But that Trump really does, with immigration, you know, and with viruses coming in and rapists and, you know, all these things that are coming in and to attack you, in theory, whether it's your jobs as attack you or whether it's you personally, you know, that's a direct appeal to conservatives.
Yeah, I don't, when you start lobbing this thing about how bad, you know, Mexican people are and they're all rapists and whatever, I've known, I've worked with Mexican people my whole life. I don't know where I've met a nicer group of people.
Exactly, with me either.
Family. I haven't found anybody there I was afraid of for a nanosecond. I mean, you know, I don't, you know, and yet that's all the story.
No, you know, I mean, I've lived in Mexico for a while. I absolutely love Mexico. It's one of my favorite places in the world, and I've been a lot of places. The people are lovely. The culture is very interesting, and they're all hardworking.
Plus, so you like the margaritas.
How can you not like a margarita?
That's the truth. I guess the question is, how can we, how are we going to go forward? We're seeing right in front of us the problems that I'm seeing, you know, kind of with the world are. The FAA, or you know, whoever it is, has now approved this, was it the CVS Aetna thing?
Oh, merger?
Yeah, and now all of a sudden we're going to have these guys taking over Tribune.
We're back to the monopolies.
Well, I mean, that's, no matter who's president, these things are constantly going on in the background to the point where I'm not thinking it matters who's president. I mean, you think General Motors cares? They figure this guy will be gone in 2 years. What exactly?
When did we give up on antitrust? When did we stop?
I'm going to say in the Reagan administration.
It was in the Reagan. Reagan actually stopped producing the antitrust report. He required it. And so that started a pattern of us not understanding how consolidated our corporate structure was.
And how it costs jobs, and how it costs, even costs people, I think, money that, it gets to the point where they don't even have to compete for shareholders.
compete for shareholders. I mean, you know, they don't even have to compete for board members. So, you know, if we're looking at the amount of jobs, if you combine two companies, you're going to cut half of the good-paying jobs at the top. And then where do those people go? There's no, unless you're starting up brand new industries, which we did a lot in the early 80s because we had the whole tech boom, but we're not starting big industries where there's a lot of high-paying jobs in the middle to lower end of the spectrum.
How can you possibly, when we've made it so that you, if you and I grab 15 people out of the University of Chicago or Northwestern, or we combine them, hospitals, and they put together two new drugs, we have no chance of getting that thing approved unless we sell out to one of the big guys.
Well, yeah, that's one way. I mean, but that's an existing. You almost need a disruptive industry. So you can look at Uber, which is kind of a disruptive industry that has created a lot of jobs. It's created a whole new industry that didn't exactly exist. And taxis existed, so it wasn't completely, but it put a new spin on it. And, you know, it's employed a lot of new people, but you need innovative, completely new thoughts. And those don't come regularly.
What's different about Uber and just having more taxis?
Well, the difference is that you can actually, rather than needing a medallion, which I think is actually not necessarily a good thing because that did require a certain level of expertise from cab drivers, although we may not realize that. Now any mom, pop, grandma, anyone can drive a car. So it has opened up an industry to a lot more employment. I mean, you can see it. It's also dropped the price with regards to transportation. For better or for worse. I mean, it's clogged up our streets like you wouldn't believe. Traffic is atrocious.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. It's horrible.
It's, you know, atrocious. But it was disruptive, and it did provide, you know, a whole lot of jobs.
Well, so we were talking about a situation where it used to be somewhat, well, monopoly controlled, shall we say.
Yeah.
And now it's not. But it wasn't for any of the reasons other than the fact that, you know, some big people, like Rahm's brother, got involved in Uber, and they just ran over, essentially, the cities and towns.
Well, yeah, but they ran over them, but the reason they were able to do that is because they could actually bring in enough money to have, back to our lawyers conversation, to have lawyers to argue and or to ignore and be able to afford the penalties they were being charged by.
Well,
places.
That's what I'm saying. They were able to fight them. You could not have fought them 15 years ago if you were to say, I'm going to put 15 people on the street. By the way, we can't shag them, but we're going to. I mean, the day the cell phones came out, you could have had Uber.
Correct. Well, maybe day three or four, you need a little bit of.
I don't, you know, you don't have to, I'm not going to. If you flag me down the street, I'm not going to do it, but here's my phone number. If you call me, I'll come pick you up. I mean, I've had debates with young people that say, and this is bizarre, Steph, to me. Picking your fanny up at one spot and dropping it off at somebody else is a cab. Picking a box up at your house and dropping it off at somebody else's box is a cartage company. I don't. That's the definition. I mean, right? I mean, you are a cab. So you were to say, unless 80 years ago, the first cab company that took a telephone thing, they're not a cab because they got it by salt by. I mean, it's how you define stuff.
No, I know. And actually, before Uber came along, I used to use this app. It was great. You could schedule cabs, and it worked really pretty well because they would show up, which if you call, you're never quite sure when they're going to show up. So it made a really big difference. And part of the frustration and the reason Uber was able to get in is because the cab companies had a monopoly, and they were so unbelievably unreliable unless you made a relationship with one cab driver, right? And so that left an opportunity. Back to the point is that, you know, you break down these monopolies, you provide other services, or you let other people in, and you get a bunch of innovation. Plus, you get a lot of better-paying, wider-range jobs for individuals.
But if you look at it, the reason why I'm going after this one, and we'll continue a little bit after break, is my dear departed colleague, he was the big shot, and I was a schmo. Milton Friedman would always talk about cabs. His two big whipping boys were cabs and medical schools, the amount of which were determined by doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say, this is insane. Well, whenever you get a cab medallion, it's up to $250,000.
Yep.
It should tell you there's not enough of them. If there were $20,000, you'd say it's about the right price.
Correct.
Right? Yep. I mean, that's exactly, and they got up to $250,000. But when you're the city, and say Stephanie Koenig, soon to have just be Steph on the back of her jersey. When you pay for that cab medallion, what are you paying for? We'll do this after the break. Yep. SP Futures still down 9. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks talking monopolies. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tim Allen. She's Stephanie Koenig. She is Jay-Z. S&P Futures down 8.25. We've got Dow Futures down 104. NASDAQ Futures down 31. So not as much as when we came in. Oil up again, 92 cents. But I still have trouble seeing oil up 250 in 2 days and still being 53.87. But it is. 10-year yield under 3 points. Snap 2.97. Wow. I didn't know if I didn't think it would come back down there. But it has, as the Fed is taking a more dovish stance on the world. DAX down 67.59%. FTSE down 51.7. CAC around down 23.4. So everybody got up a little bit of yesterday. Not a whole lot, but some. Nikkei, obviously the Japanese have figured out that maybe they're not doing so hot in this trade deal. They're not 538. 22,036, that's 2.4%. That's a huge move. Shanghai up 11.4%. Hang Seng, again, they are holding on to their games from yesterday as well, up 78.3%. Again, we've got West Texas up 92, Brent up 123, but still, 62.92. And 3 months ago, we were wondering if they were going to go to 100. They are not, at least not anytime soon. Natural gas rallied since we talked about it last. You know this stuff, 446, up 12 cents. They've gone up 20 cents. What's this, our last break?
Yeah, I think
our,
so.
Our Bob up 4 cents to 147. Boy, am I glad I filled up to 191. The other stuff, diesel and home heating oil, same thing. Up 193, that's up 4 cents. Gold rallying as well, up 540. Silver up another 15 cents. Copper actually making a little bit of a move back to 282. It was down in the low 260s. David gave it a buy down there. I didn't really feel like, I don't know if there's that much of a copper ETF. We'll ask David on Thursday, but I don't know if there is. Steph, or Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Trevi Weather Sports.
Sorry. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 7:35. Chicago is currently cloudy and 30. No rain today, looks like, so that's good. Today's high is 33, low of 25. Phoenix is sunny with a high of 68, low of 40. No scores to report from last night, but in traffic there was a car fire on the exit ramp on I-55 North causing some delays at Damon Avenue. And that's all. Back to you.
Johnny, you with us, bud?
I am. How are you doing this
morning? We're doing good. You got Steph with us.
Good morning.
Before the break, we were talking a little bit about when you buy into monopolies, shall we say, or cartels, what you're right. really buying. And I little experience with this because when I was in it was kind of an amazing time, Steph and John, when I was in grad school, just before my time, when I was in undergrad and grad school, he had probably one of the most interesting, and this is something I honestly believe, well, certainly won't see it again in my lifetime, maybe Jay-Z's, but we had an amazing union between some of the economists and some of the bigger grad schools and some of the politicians to kind of make some changes. And when before that time, the airline was regulated. There couldn't be any more new airlines unless the government saw fit, which meant from 1937 to 1976, there had never been a new airline.
Yep.
The guys there always said they could handle it. Matter of fact, Southwest Air got their start. Most people might remember this. Jay-Z, maybe not, because she was not around. Was a intrastate airline in Texas. Now, Texas is a big place. But they never got the ability to fly outside Texas for years. But they still had a pretty good-sized airline in Texas. And the trucking companies. You couldn't just pick up a load of here in Chicago and drop it off in Des Moines unless you had Chicago to Iowa paper. I mean, I worked for ICX that had Chicago paper to Illinois to Colorado, California, and Arizona. So we would drive
really?
Trucks back. Oh, yeah. We had trucks back and forth from Chicago to Denver. Do not stop. Nebraska, do not stop at Iowa because you couldn't land there. And we could not go east. But you had paper. The reason why Allied Van Lines was a van line is because Allied owned all the paper. And when you put your household goods on a truck, it went on an Allied truck. John Neal Moving and Storage from Phoenix could no more take my stuff from Phoenix to Denver than the man in the moon because he didn't have paper.
Interesting. I wasn't aware of that one.
Yeah, and everybody had all this stuff. Railroads, same way. Railroads were the price you paid for something was regulated, and if your soybeans were going 100 miles, you paid virtually twice as much as if they were going 50 miles. Duh.
Right.
So all this changed in the early 70s. And but when you buy like a cab medallion or you bought that paper, you essentially were buying government's promise.
Yeah, it was like a patent.
Yeah, you're buying government's promise to keep the amount of cab medallions set at 5,000. Maybe once in a while they'd say, okay, the city's expanded, we're going to go to 5,100 or something. But in Vegas, there's a guy, if you put your fanny in a cab in Vegas, this is even with Uber. Some guy got out there in like the 50s and put all these cabs together. Might have been earlier. I mean, who knows? I don't know if it's his kid. The same one guy owned, I believe, 70-75% of all the cab medallions in Vegas.
Yep.
And he managed to get a law passed that if they issued, because the place is obviously expanded, they issued 500 new patents, or patents, new medallions, he got to buy the exact same percentage of the new ones as he had before. So there was no sprinkling in the infield on concentration. I mean,
right.
But, you know, if he, I guess if he couldn't afford to buy them, maybe then they got some, but believe me, he could. So when you pay $250,000 for a medallion in Chicago, and 6 months later you find out that the mayor's brother is a shareholder in Uber and anybody can be a cabbie, I mean, I tell you what, I'd be pissed off. I'm not a violent man, but boy, I'd arm myself up with some water balloons and a ramp fight. I'd be pretty wet, you know.
Right.
But that's as far as I'd go. But they, you know, I mean, that's insane. The company I was telling about, ICX. In fact, they lived two doors away. The guy who ran the place there in Chicago, Big Lou, nicest guys I ever met, got me the job there, my brother the job there, working, throwing boxes around on weekends when I was going to grad school. And I did real well. But I used to make, what was I making, $9 an hour, and overtime on Saturday. I was making like $200 a weekend in 1975, John. That's unheard of.
It was good money.
Yeah, and, big money.
I mean, never had a problem with joining a softball league, having a beer, paying gas for my junk to get them back and forth to school. But I'm saying, he says to me, hey, Tom, you're in grad school. We're going to buy this company out of Ohio. We want to go east. And I said, do not buy that. Because every professor, well, all they were talking about was that they were working on this legislation where they were going to open up the
trucking
industry. And I said, I don't know where it's at. I'm just a student. I said, but be honest, go down there and sit next to one of these professors before you guys pony up like a couple of million dollars for this crap. Sure enough, they buy it a year later. It's worthless and the place goes out of business. And they were one of the top 10, most profitable trucking companies around. So the last thing you want to do is be the last man to buy a permit. And right now, if you want to go to O'Hare, you and I want to start an airline, John, we'll bring stuff with us. We're going to have to buy a landing slot from somebody, if somebody will sell it to us. God knows what we got to pay for this slot. Or a gate. Even though you go to Dulles, there's got to be 20 gates you walk by that have never been used. Somebody owns them. Somebody is bogarting them, pretty much. And if you want to buy one, so say it's, you know, United says, I'll give you one for $5 million. Okay, you pony up your last nickel to these creeps, and all of a sudden, 6 months later, you know, the FAA says, by the way, anybody can have a gate if it's not being used. We just basically pissed away $5 million.
Actually, Dulles is a kind of interesting situation.
Yeah,
because Dulles Congress keeps approving DCA or Reagan to get more and more flights, whereas Dulles they're not approving. So there's a big conflict there.
Yeah,
I wonder who. But
am I right? You can't just fly into O'Hare and say, oh, by the way, I just bought this plane and I want to fly from Las Vegas to O'Hare. Oh, every landing slot's taken. Well, is every landing slot being used? Well, no, but the 10 that aren't being used are belong to United. Well, right. how the hell can that be? Well,
wonder what happens when they build a new terminal. I wonder if
they sell them off.
Right to first refusal to a new terminal.
Well, they usually get half the money from the airlines, so they're totally locked in.
Yeah, the airlines pay for part of the construction usually, and then they determine it somehow behind the scenes.
And they're not doing it, as my uncle used to say, make sure your shirt is buttoned. I don't want your heart to pop out of your chest. I mean, these guys, United is not not ponying up money for this terminal out of the goodness of their heart.
No.
They're doing it so nobody else can have a terminal.
It's so funny. I worked with the Dallas-Fort Worth airport for a little while, and I always find that airport absolutely hilarious. You know, it's built exactly like Texas. It's huge, and there's a lot of space between gates. The funniest part about it, though, is that Texans in general don't walk. They drive everywhere. So, you know, I just thought it was hilarious because they made it bigger and better, you know, in Texas, but then, you know, the people that live there can't get around it because it's just so ginormous.
Don't they have a guy that they ended up leasing land between runways to grow hay or something?
Did they?
They were paying some guy to, like, cut the grass. It cost a fortune. And one day they said, well, why don't we see if a farmer doesn't mind going out there and actually using it for hay or something, that way he can pay us.
It wouldn't surprise me if they did that in Colorado, too. They've got acres and acres out there that they don't use.
One of my first job out of grad school was not Pullman. It was Allied Van Lines. And one of the vice president of finance loved me because he thought I could actually do stuff at a young age. So he sends me down to Texas to sell off a terminal property right next to the airport. The thing had just opened. And I'm looking at this airport going, my God, this thing is huge. Well, the idea was, I don't know how far away, my geography's not so good, between how far Dallas and Fort Worth are apart. But wasn't the idea that if you built the airport in the middle, this two cities would essentially grow together toward the airport? But for like 30 years, it didn't happen, did it? I mean, I don't think. And maybe it has now. But wasn't that the original idea, Jen? Is it they would sort of grow together that way? Let's say you want to do is put the airport like on the offside of Fort Worth or Dallas. You want it in the middle so people would, you know, whatever.
Right.
And,
makes sense.
So I had to sell off this terminal property. So guess what a terminal property was? And Jen, what do you think it could be? What was the highest and best use? It had a big parking lot for all the tractor trailers. Had a huge communications room for calling the guys on the road and so forth. And it had probably 25 tiny little bedrooms.
Guessing it turned out to be a taxi stand.
I'm going to say that could you have designed a better whorehouse in life?
Oh, well, there's that too.
In a total concrete bunker, I go. So the guy comes out to the listing agent, or I'm trying to interview a listing agent, and the guy goes, what else can we use this thing for? He goes, a whorehouse? And I whatever. He goes, it's only good for what you guys have it for, and, which is true. And it was a great, because, you know, truck drivers, even if you've got your cot in the truck once in a while, you want to sleep somewhere else. So they had nice beds and all these little rooms, and, you know, across the street was a nice restaurant and bar and so forth. So everybody was happy. But we ended up selling the stuff off, but it was many acres, but it was right next to the airport. We couldn't give it away. You know, the land did not pop up. It wasn't like, Steph, you put the airport there and the prices jumped like four times the minute it was over or done. It was not at all.
No, this was, what, in the 80s?
No, this was 76.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't give it away because the only thing out there was the airport.
Right.
And everybody knew it was a long drive. It was like the one in Denver. All right, John, what do you make of... We got gold going up, we got oil going up, but from oil from a low level. We've got the market, by the end of the day, we probably won't have much of a rally from, yesterday, but we were up last week, so, you know, yesterday,
right.
You know, I'm just not like it's, because all I read here is about how, the White House is scrambling to find out what the actual deal was. But then you got Wilbur Ross coming out talking about how really strong the economy is. And whenever a rich 90-year-old dude starts telling you how it's strong, it really means it's strong for him.
Right.
It just ditches me.
Collectively strong, exactly. Well, you've got so many cross signals. I mean, who knows what with the first segment you talked about, palm oil. I mean, who knows where that's going? Or there's so many mixed signals from so many, you know, different areas. The precious metal segment, we have had a nice... slow little lift, so it's been pretty good to play those options around, so no problem with that. I'm somewhat pleased, actually, within the last week of that.
Yeah, it's about time. I wonder if it keeps going. I mean, every time the GDX gets a 19.5, somebody hits it like a whack-a-mole, but maybe today we'll get near 20. We'll see.
Right. And that's been the problem. But, we'll see if that goes further. Once again, we don't, have inflation. We don't have, these things that are going to cause those to move. As far as the general markets, just like we talked about on Friday, they came up with, story, not story necessarily, but, you got something done over there that, caused a nice, little, story in the press. Like you said, there's no details of any type of deal. If anything, they've got a, 90-day push on this thing, to hold these, tariffs and things like that, so that was enough to cause this to run, and you and I were talking about that on Friday. There'd probably be something just put out there just to prop this up once again. So,
are you at all...
put protection on, So.
Are you at all concerned that the very flat yield curve now, if you're really clever and you look at the 3 to 5 year, you'll see it, it inverted by a hundredth of a point. So not much.
Right.
Are you concerned about that, or you just... I was concerned when it was flat, so I guess there's a little bit extra to make me that more concerned. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. This whole bond thing has been tough too. I think I'm like you folks in Chicago there that, I'm doing the things I have in bonds are very short term because of this type of thing.
one to three, maybe some five, some municipal, convertible. Even the convertibles haven't, held up extremely well, but they've done decent. So it's been hard in that fixed income space, too.
Well, Jim, when you look around you, again, every day I talk a little bit about this inflation, because I honestly do believe that it's something that's affecting massive parts of the country. But when you have, let's pull out a few things. Let's just say, if you look around you today, especially with gas prices coming down, you look at your food prices, especially pork and chicken, they're obviously not going up. You look at a lot of the stuff that is in this basket, gasoline and things like that, you're going to say, well, there really isn't any inflation. I mean, where the hell is it? I mean, where does this chief guy keep coming up with this stuff? Yet, how do we get, let's just take the last 20 years, the medical care that is up 2,000%, even though the CPI is up 300%.
Right.
How do we ever account for medical care, tuition, and state and local taxes?
Or child care.
I mean, how do we begin to get those things into the numbers? Because the thing that's odd about it is I mentioned this last week, but I'll run it by you guys, is that if all of a sudden, not that we don't have this in the city stuff, but if you guys, for instance, park down your street, and all of a sudden there's a $500 charge to park in front of your house. Okay, we're not 500, but say there was. And then for the next 5 years, it never went up. The way our CPI is done, the first 5 years, since it's not in the basket, it's never counted. But now if you put it in the basket, the next 5 years it would show no inflation. Yet you're still up an infinite amount from today. So, I mean, it never really catches up.
Chicago City parking, whatever, sticker.
Yeah.
How much has that gone up in the last 10 years?
It's probably doubled or tripled.
It's at least doubled.
So what I'm saying is we're never going to catch up on it. So when you talk about people in Washington, say how good everybody's doing, and you look at the 80% of the public, the answer is they're not doing very good. If you're actually getting a raise and you get your hospitalization for your family from work, and you're making $55,000, I think you can make it, Steph. If you are making $55,000 and you're paying for your family's insurance,
yeah.
I don't see where you're going. The one guy's got to be like he's making 75, and the other guy's got to be making 35.
Well,
it's a dramatic difference.
It goes back to why you have families where everyone has to work. I mean, you can't have people that are home with either elderly. You can't have people that are home with children. None of that, because you just can't afford to.
No, you could easily have one of the people could be working for insurance. And most people
that's a lot of cases.
Well, people that are in the trades. People who have like their own plumbing company or whatever, and then hire people temporary. If they could get their, this is going to sound sexist, but it's not, because you work the other way. If they can get their wife as a job in the local library for $2 an hour with the family's insurance paid for, they're all over it.
Of course.
I mean, that's gold to people.
It's the same way.
Well, one chronic illness without insurance, ball game's over.
Right? Well, and I think, Steph, because you're obviously, you hang around a lot of lawyers, Every small law office, say with four or five people, every one of those guys is guys or women in there, hopes to God that everybody in that office, husband or wife, has insurance or somewhere else. Because if you can get away with not paying that, and there's five lawyers in your office, all of a sudden you are so far ahead of the lawyer down the hall, it's not even close.
The premiums are absolutely insane, and most lawyers actually use a lot of the organizations that support, a lot of the organizations that support lawyers, around the country, because they will provide you a consolidated health care costs that are a lot less than if you go to like United or Aetna or any of those. But still, I would tell you, at least from my husband's business, it is a huge expense. It's probably almost, after his office space and salaries, definitely the most.
Well, it's $2,000. It's got to be $2,000 a person if it's a family.
Well, that's assuming that you don't have people that have a lot of health problems. And, when you get people on your staff that have a lot of health problems, those things just skyrocket.
All right, so my question to you then is, you're buying insurance from this other firm, but you're not being grouped.
Buying insurance from what other firm?
Well, when we were using Empower,
right,
and actually we still use them, but Bob Cerrone's new company. I mean, matter of fact, you guys should probably talk to them. But Bob Cerrone's new company, what their deal is, you become a leased employee.
Got it.
So if PTI, you know, has 11 people, we essentially, you know, Dan would send a check to his new place is. I'll think of it in a second. Cognos HR. I mean, Dan would send a check every 2 weeks to Cognos,
mm-hmm.
and you get your payroll from them, and you're on their hospitalization. So their pool might be 5,000 people.
Right.
So if you have somebody who's childbearing age, it shouldn't affect you as much as if. I mean, we, one time we had get a look at this. We had something like 6 or 7 people in their 50s, all with like some issue. You know, maybe not me, but everybody else. And we had 3 or 4 people of childbearing age. So talk about the absolute worst demographic. I mean, nobody wanted us. They were telling us no. There wasn't even a number.
Right.
It was that bad. And then we ended up with these guys, and we piled in, and we got, you know, something that was least competitive. But lawyers, I know, with Audrey in real estate, out of all the things real estate people do for each other, they've never been able to get a real estate deal plan where they could pile them together, even though they're all members of that. You know, you got to be a member, you got to be an association, and yet a carpenter's always have been able to. You know, and yet nobody wants to give the real estate people a break. Now, does the Illinois, you know, Bar Association, is that considered a group?
It is, and they do provide insurance.
So, okay, so not just provide you quote a discount, you actually get grouped.
You can group your firm in on there. Yes.
Well, that has to save a bunch.
It does, but it you know, as a small business owner, it's still a huge expense.
Well, we were even for Empire, we were $2,000 a month on it for everybody.
Yep.
So if you got, you know, 10 employees, that's a lot of dough.
No, I know. I'm not suggesting it's any different. Just saying.
You hope they all get to be 65 one day. And they're all on Medicare, almost like you're all okay. Yeah. But so, Jan, today, end of the year, I mean, I'd sure love to see a gold rally here. But
right.
The I don't know. I'm saying if we can't get Apple and Amazon on their way to where they're leading the whole pack, I don't see us getting a new highs by the end of the year. Unless somehow or another Apple totally surprises and says, you know, screw the suppliers, we're not cutting back on supplies, we're actually doing better. Unless they do that, I don't know where we go here.
Yeah, no, I don't see the new highs, you know, in the next, 4 weeks or roughly whatever it is. I just don't see it happening. You know, some of the numbers are decent, but, you know, we're not getting these, barn burner, you know, type numbers coming out of these companies or news coming out of these companies, you know, unless you see, you know, something from, you know, this Christmas shopping is extraordinary, but I just don't see it. People just don't have what they used to have. Just talking to people in general, Tom, you know, they're spending, you know, less on the holiday season, you know, so on and so forth. So I just don't see it happen, so I agree with you.
Do you see this headline as the whatever disease our president has is catching? Toll Brothers stock dives after disappointing guidance. CEO blames media for housing slowdown.
Oh, wow.
everything's somebody else's fault, exactly.
It's, you know, whatever. Good Lord. Chief driving 20-year-old truck blames media for not having new Suburban in the driveway. I mean, what does the media got to do with the housing? Does anybody buy or sell a house even consult the media?
I don't know. I'm going to call up, MSNBC and see what they think, if the house down the street is worth what I'm going to pay for it.
Oh, God. So you're in the market, you're picking, okay. Steph, you'd pay for one cash, though, I think.
Yeah. Which world are you living in?
I'm just saying that they don't call her Cash Koenig. That's a new name for Steph.
Gonna call me?
Cash. What do you think, Jay-Z?
I like it.
Oh, God. SP Futures still up 9. John, thank you very much, buddy. Talk to you on Friday. What? We got no markets tomorrow, eh?
Sorry.
No markets.
Yeah, we got no markets tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we won't be here tomorrow. We'll be back on Thursday, Stacks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit hamzyanalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.